B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's the fourth and final hour on a re-entry Monday. It's such a Monday that I called it an agenda-free Friday. It's a re-entry Monday presented by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Felger and Maz. Felger here on location. Maz and Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We're brought to you by DraftKings on both the radio and the simulcast side on NBC Sports Boston. As you just heard Murray say, more games canceled today in Major League Baseball. We have another outbreak. St. Louis Cardinals. 13 members of the St. Louis Cardinals between on-field and off-field personnel have tested positive for COVID and counting. The GM, as you heard Murray say there again, GM said there's no proof that we had players at a casino, but in that he did not say they weren't at the casino.
Yeah, you want the exact quote?
Yeah.
I have no factual reason to believe that that is true. I have not seen any proof of that. If they were at a casino, that would be disappointing.
Yeah. So I think this Major League restart has been such a debacle.
Yeah.
That I, Maz, I can barely even put it into words. I started the show by ranting about it, but I'll just reset it quickly. And I do juxtapose it against the NBA and the NHL, both of which came up with plans and so far are executing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in terms of the NBA, like, the product's even good. I think there's been some really good ball games. I think both Celtics games were competitive. They were, if not pure playoff quality, they were certainly intense regular season games that had good drama and back and forth and, you know, good product. I think there's another one this afternoon with the Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Like, it feels like the NBA's hit the ground running. They came up with a plan. They're delivering on the plan. And I think the NHL's doing just about the same thing. The Bruins have yet to show up, which we'll get to. So it's clouded our judgment a little bit on that. But there's other games across the NHL that have been great. And they've come up with the plan, they're executing the plan, and they're doing it. Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, which had more time, more motivation, more, well, frankly, more of a runway because it's an outdoor sport that is socially distanced to begin with. So they had way more advantages than the NBA and the NHL in getting back. And more opportunity and more reason, more at stake, frankly, because they had played none of their season. They spent 3 months bickering and now are trying to execute their plan, and it has blown up in their face. And it is, Maz, this season is an absolute joke, and it is already an abject failure.
Yep. No, so now feels like a good time for me to tell you that hot takes are brought to you by our friends at Rodenizer. Visit Rodenizer.com to learn more. Okay. What a poop storm. What a complete poop show this is. Completely. They've completely butchered it from the very beginning. You know what the bottom line is? Their hearts were never in it in the first place. And I'm including the owners in that part of it. Because, again, the breakdown of the structure, if players are going to strip joints and casinos, this thing has no chance of working. No chance. It's a zero. It's a 0.0. Seriously, if you can't give up the strip joints in the casino, like, is there a more well-orchestrated super spreader than a casino?
Seriously.
You're sitting, like, right next to people, jammed into a small area. People are smoking and drinking and breathing on each other, and you're there for hours. Like, a casino feels to me like it might as well be a Petri dish for the COVID, for crying out loud. It's, like, the perfect condition. If you're going to a casino, you don't want to play baseball.
So that's just it. The players didn't want to play baseball. And I was worried about them, you know, jaking it on the field, just sort of half-assing it on the field, which has happened. But, you know, little I know, they could submarine the whole thing by just being complete jackasses off of it, which is, we don't really want to play. We hate the owners. If we get COVID, we're still getting paid. We don't have to play. So screw it. Boobs in our face. Let's go. Strip clubs and you know, so is it the Marlins in the hotel bars? The Marlins at the clubs in Atlanta? Is it the St. Louis Cardinals in the casino? What a joke. Every other league, okay, not football yet, but every other league, the players agreed to sacrifice something. Spend weeks and months away from their families in a quarantined environment to play their sport. Baseball players, of course, refused because they refused to do anything. They refused, and not only have they refused, they're not even taking care of themselves off the field. So as a result, we've had cancellations left, right, and center. We've had entire teams shut down. Florida Marlins, now the St. Louis Cardinals. You've had teams that are sitting around waiting for results to know whether to shut down or not. You have other teams that are presumably healthy, but they have no one to play because they're on the schedule to face these teams that have had outbreaks. There are series that are being made up or rescheduled on the fly. There was a Yankees-Baltimore pop-up series last week. This St. Louis-Detroit series that was just canceled was reconnoitered. It was supposed to be home and home. Then they said, well, let's just play all four in Detroit because St. Louis has had an outbreak. And then today they said, well, let's just shut the whole thing down. So suddenly now, oh, by the way, they're playing seven-inning baseball games after spending months bickering and going back and forth about seven-inning games. And all of a sudden, the other day they said, all right, yeah, fine, we'll play seven-inning baseball games. And we had a seven-inning doubleheader yesterday. In Detroit, I think it was. Cincinnati, Detroit, seven-inning doubleheader. So those are back on. They bickered for months about expanded playoffs. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Then about 7 minutes before the first pitch on the opening day, they said, okay, we'll do expanded playoffs. Let's see. You've got key players around the league just all of a sudden quitting. Lorenzo Cain with the Brewers over the weekend said, all right, enough of this. This is ridiculous. Shut it down. You have the Yoenis Cespedes story with the Mets. They're in Atlanta to play a ball game. They show up to the stadium to play the game. Where's Yoenis? We can't find him. They send folks to the hotel. He's gone, packed and gone. GM comes out and says, we can't find Yoenis Cespedes. We're worried about his safety. Hour later, they find him. Turns out he's quit. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, one day says, well, you know, any more this goes on, we're going to shut the league down. He tells Tony Clark the league's going to shut down if the players don't tighten it up. Then the next day, in true Manfred fashion, he says, nope, we're finishing the year no matter what. We're not quitters. Meanwhile, I mentioned to you before, there's a COVID bus now headed down the East Coast because they have no other way to get these Marlins players home from Philly. They've been quarantined in Philly. I think the Cardinals are trapped in Milwaukee, and the Marlins were trapped in Philly. And so to get the Marlins home, they commissioned these sleeper buses. I don't know why they just can't put them on a plane, but this is the story. They got these buses, these sleeper buses, that they're putting all the infected in. So all the infected are in these buses now rolling. They're supposed to leave today from Philly down to Miami, carrying all the infected COVID Marlins players. Meanwhile, the Marlins are shut down. The teams are supposed to play are shut down. And where's the end in sight? And so this is why I say it's already a failure, Maz, because even if from this point forward they don't have a single positive test, let's just say from this point forward everyone's clean, everyone's negative. If you already look at the NL East standings, Atlanta's in first place at 7-3, Miami's in second at 2-1. Like, so how do you? There's 7-8 games now. These teams, there's a couple of teams, Philly and Miami, that couldn't even get to their fourth game on the schedule. Meanwhile, there's teams tonight getting ready to play their 11th. And it's like, so how do you bridge that gap? Well, you have those teams that haven't played enough games play all these seven-inning doubleheaders. So it's like, you're going to have some teams playing 60 games of nine-inning baseball.
Yep.
Then you're going to have other teams playing, I don't know, whatever, 56 games of seven-inning baseball. And can you possibly compare a team playing a nine-inning baseball game to a seven-inning baseball game? It's a different animal. It puts stress on your teams in different ways. You don't need as many pitchers. It's a whole different game, one that I think the league should embrace, but be that as it may. You have teams playing 60 games here, 48 games there. You have teams playing 9-inning games here, 7-inning games there. It's already over. The integrity of the season is completely shot. They've already blown it, Maz.
Oh, you mean it's supposed to be fair? Like, it's a joke. It's a complete calamity. It's a fire drill is what it is. I don't know any other way to put it. That's what it is. It's a fire drill. Like, they started out with this little bit of structure, little bit. And then somebody pulled the alarm and they all start running around. That's what the thing is. It is. It's completely anarchy. Now, if you're asking me, no shot this finishes. No shot. And I don't know, maybe they're intent on doing it come hell or high water, and they'll play it at the end even if they have to shut down 15 teams. But correct me if I'm wrong, it's already three, right? Haven't they shut down three teams?
Yeah.
The Phillies, and now these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cards. Yep.
So, like, you know, again, I don't know. I mean, and if I just don't know what you where you go from here. I think this, because at the end of the day, I don't think the players have the discipline to execute it. It's a complete clown show.
So listen, Maz, when you say that neither side had their heart in it, that's so true. I think the owners, heck, there were owners that wanted to shut the whole season down.
Correct.
That just didn't want to play. So I absolutely think, but I think once they got to the point where they said, okay, we're going to play the 60 games, they did produce the 113-page manual. And I think the teams have gone through the motions of making the environments as safe as possible. The Red Sox have players dressing in the luxury boxes, right? I mean, and I think other teams have followed suit. I think they've distanced the players. They've sanitized the facilities. They've made it as safe as humanly possible. And now it's up to the players just to keep it in their pants. And I think the players haven't kept it in their pants. And I think that's the disgrace. That's the debacle. And boy, are we there. They've already blown the thing. I mentioned before, like, I think as different and unusual as the NBA and NHL stuff is, I do feel it's a product with integrity. When I'm watching these basketball games, those are real NBA games with the stars. I mean, I watched Giannis, Harden, and Westbrook last night. On Friday night, I watched Giannis, I watched Tatum, I watched Brown. I mean, those are the real teams playing real games, and I'm watching the standings. Okay, that Toronto-Miami game impacts the standings, and so the NBA came up with the plan. They're executing the plan. And the NHL's doing the exact same thing. And I'm looking at these playoff series. The Rangers are about to get bounced. The Montreal Canadiens are one up on Pittsburgh, and so is Chicago. And it's like they came up with that plan, as goofy as you might think that it is, but they're doing it. They're executing it. Major League Baseball couldn't execute their plan for 5 days. The Marlins and Phillies played 3 games before they got shut down. 3!
Mike, they didn't get through the first weekend.
Holy crap! So, I mean, here we are. That, to me, is the lead. That as low of as a bar as we had for Major League Baseball, and as little faith that we had in Major League Baseball, and the leaders of Major League Baseball, and the players in Major League Baseball to execute this, they even exceeded our lowest expectations. And so here we are. So maybe this is a good year for the Red Sox to absolutely blow like I've never seen them blow before.
Oh, boy, do they suck, man.
Wow. Wow. And I think last night, if they do plow through and finish this season, I think last night was the death knell for the Boston Red Sox. I think they had a chance to come out of this thing at 4-6 with one win over the Yankees on national TV, feeling a little good about themselves, keeping themselves in it. Now they're 3-7. They've just traveled to infected Florida. Teams are shutting down left, right, and center. There's COVID buses rolling across America filled with Major League Baseball players. And I would not be surprised if, you know, if not literally, figuratively, the Boston Red Sox players, Maz, are sitting there going, F this. How do we get out of this now? Let's shut it down.
Oh, no. I mean, I was just going to say, you know what they're saying? Guys, we're having a team meeting tonight. At Mons Venus, which for those people who don't know is a strip joint in Tampa.
Like who doesn't know that?
Oh, well, okay, you never know, but that's where we're going. Team meeting, because we're all getting COVID and we're pulling the plug on this puppy.
So there's your reset on the baseball and the Red Sox. We also have Bruins on the ball. How do you feel about them? What are you most concerned by? What are you most concerned by coming out of this weekend? The way the Bruins looked, the way the Celtics looked, which I don't think was that bad, but you know. They lost one and could have lost the other. Are you more concerned by the Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox, which kind of goes without saying, or Major League Baseball in general? Or all these opt-outs with the Patriots? You'd be concerned with all of it. What's your answer on that? Your thoughts right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felder and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rob Manfred determined to continue this season despite 24 games missed already. What are you hearing from people around the league about how they viewed his statement from yesterday?
Hannah, the players were furious because as part of his statement to our Carl Ravitch, he mentioned the players have to do better And that really angered the players. They felt like he was finger-pointing. John Lester of the Cubs, for example, responded, I'm paraphrasing here, saying, hey, we're the ones who are taking the risk. But this is at the end of a week of finger-pointing from both sides. We had tweets from David Price, from Anthony Rizzo, calling into question parts of the health and safety protocol and whether safety was a priority. I can tell you behind the scenes, Major League Baseball Player Association, conversations all the time, they're working together. But this undercurrent of distrust and suspicion has been there all throughout this process, so different than the NBA and the NHL.
That's bustle only. So the players only been called out. Who's going to the strip clubs? The owners? I mean, maybe they are. But are they getting caught and infecting their teammates? And every time, Maz, these baseball players say, we're the ones assuming the risk. I feel like saying, how about your manager? How about your coaches? How about your trainers? I mean, they're frankly more at risk than you are. They're in closer contact with people on a daily basis than you are. They're probably older and more vulnerable than you are. But it's like these guys just totally ignore all the support staff around them that I think are just as much risk, if not more.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. If the players are assuming so much risk by playing, how come all these outbreaks are one team? You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, the Marlins had 20-some-odd players, and I know a few people in the Philadelphia organization got it. But it hit 20 people. In that, how come it didn't hit the Phillies? Like, if it's happening in the stadium and in the game,
that's right.
Then how come it didn't hit the Phillies the same way?
Because the owners in the game has taken some precautions that they're following.
Right, because the right answer is they didn't get it at the stadium. They didn't get it at work. They got it somewhere else. They got it at a strip joint, and then they got on a plane, and then it transmitted on the plane. But the genesis of it was at the strip joint when they were in an environment that they should have been in the first place, whether they're ball players or not. See, that's the part they miss. It's like the baseball players sit there and they say, well, we're taking the risk. No, but you're not supposed to be taking the risk that any other human being shouldn't be taking right now. You donkeys.
Okay, calls as promised. Let's rifle through them. Paul in Maine on Major League Baseball. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. At one point during the Yankee game Friday night, Eck was talking about the salad-tossing turd stool known as Ryan Weber and said there's no one else in the league that pitches quite like this guy, which was really another way of saying that he sucks so much there's no one else in the league to even really compare him to. Guys, this pitching staff absolutely blows. These suck pills are 1/6 of the way through the season. I mean, how long do you think it will be before the everyday players decide to mail it in, or have they already?
Yeah, what do you think, Maz? That the rest of the team loses so much faith in the pitching staff that they stop trying?
Well, so look, I mean, that could absolutely happen. It can happen in a non-COVID season, let alone in a COVID season. Now, that said, I was, pleasantly surprised but happy to see, Vasquez, if Bogarts has woken up. Like, to me, I'm happy to see some of those guys continue to play.
Devers and Bogarts totally woke up in last night's game.
I mean, Bogarts had a good series.
Yeah.
Right? So now, Benintendi, what's he betting, 083?
Yeah, he looks like he don't want to be there.
He's like 083, I think it is. I mean, so some of those guys, I think, never even showed up. I'd say they quit, but they never even showed up.
Bert in Berlin on the Bruins. What do you think, Bert?
Yeah, hi, guys. I 4 months ago I called in. My take was I thought there was no chance that this break for the NHL, the Bruins, wouldn't benefit them. I was convinced. I mean, if you get elderly guys, they're going to get – a couple weeks off, they'll rest up, they'll come back, they'll be more fresh, they'll be ready to go down the stretch because injuries have been their downfall. I got to say, after this is for future take probation possibility. I need to come off that a little bit by saying, I've been taking more naps in the last 4 months. And I still feel older than I was 4 months ago. So I'm not sure. Look, I'm not going to panic about the Bruins, but, the old guys haven't gotten any younger. Yeah, they've rested. I'm fearful that...
Well, Bert, let me just stop you here in a minute. Are you concerned about the Bruins, Mass?
Yes, I absolutely am, based on what I saw yesterday. Yes. So now, look, again, it's early, but I'm telling you, I throw the exhibition game against Columbus in there, too. I thought they looked garbage, like garbage in that game. But yesterday, there were a few guys that I looked at and say they look like they're moving at something close to full speed. The other guys, they're getting beaten to putts everywhere. I just, to me, it was laughable how much better Philadelphia was than the Bruins. And we all know the Bruins are the best team in the league during the regular season, I mean. And they have the most at stake. Now, look, if you're telling me that when they start playing the play, they don't care about the seeding, which they might not, and then when they start playing the games for real, they will turn it on. Okay, I'll accept that. But at the moment, I thought they had something to play for more than any other team in town. They had something to play for coming out of it because they think the seeding matters. They have something to play in the longer term because there's a championship at stake and they can absolutely win it. They have the best chance of any team in town at the moment. I look at that and I saw what I saw yesterday. Oh, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Hey, who was good yesterday? Coyle, Lozon, I guess, defensively. The rest of them, they all look like they're skating in mud.
I mean, maybe five guys, I think you could probably, if you really thought about it, come up with, you know, five or six guys. But not more than that.
So the question there on the Bruins, there's two main points. One is they looked old and slow. And the question is, are they just old and slow? Did the layoff hurt the old guys? We were curious. Would the layoff help or hurt the old teams? And maybe it's possible it's hurt the old teams. Because Chara, I thought, looked particularly old and particularly, sticky in that game. And so maybe we have our answer that's hurt the old teams. Or it's intentional because the team did send out signals from Cassidy on down that they were going to treat these qualifiers more like preseason games than playoff games. And so if that's the case, they're intentionally pacing themselves. And this is by design.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's possible that they're just that's what they're doing. In which case, I would say that's a dangerous game to play. So you think you're so good and you got it so figured out that you're just now one of these flip the switch teams? Okay. If you can do it, you can do it. So that's the overall approach from the team. Is this intentional or are they just old? That's the first one. The second one is Rask. Is he going to be ready to go? Because he hasn't quite. He told us that he spent the pandemic not even, the first thing he said that when they first started to come out of it was, oh, I guess I better start skating now. Because he hadn't skated for 3 or 4 months. And then he gets on the ice and he hurts his hand doing box jumps or something. And he's got to leave practice several times in that first week or two at Warrior. Now he gets here. Then he presses the cough button, literally. He has to do one of these daily self-exams or something. And he's had a little cough. And so he set it on his phone. And the next thing you know, 14 guys show up in hazmat suit, locking him in his room for 2 days. Then he can't leave the room. Has to take a series of tests. He was back today. But is Rask ready to go? Is he in shape? Is he focused? Is he committed? Is he motivated? Or is he out to lunch? And I don't think we know, and we're not going to know until he gets out there. And that's the other key point about the Bruins. Is Tuukka Rask ready to go? We don't know yet. Meantime, back to the phones. Cam and Taunton on the MLB outbreak. Go ahead, Cam.
I am just so done with this player's year. And the guy I'm really sick of hearing from is Trevor Bauer. Like,
oh, yeah.
Dude, you're a fourth starter on a relevant team. No one really gives a crap what you think. Like, your union rejected the bubble. Your union put up this fight the whole way. Now, the owners did fret about money since they did. That's true. The players are going to strip clubs. The players are going to bars and going to casinos. This is not on the teams. They're producing safe environments. So shut the hell up, Bauer. I'm sick of hearing your mouth. Oh, Bauer for commissioner. Who does this guy think he is? You're some fourth starter jackass who cuts his finger on drones.
Thank God. You. Right. He had to miss playoff games because he cut his finger on his Star Wars toy. Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yeah, yep. Same guy.
Yep, same guy.
So this is a guy, he was bitching about the 7-inning games, right? The 7, I mean, he bitches about everything, this guy. But classic, I think a classic representative of the modern baseball player. He misses a freaking playoff game because he cut his hand on his Star Wars Millennium Falcon toy or something.
Yeah, it was the Millennium Falcon. It was, yeah.
So, and he's the one that now is blaming baseball and and complaining about the 7-inning games. This is what I'm talking about with the Major League Baseball players, Mass.
Oh, listen, they act selfishly. Again, all they do is think about themselves. So it's like they sit there and say, they put up a fight, one, and play baseball, and then the game comes back and they go into strip joints and blame the owners. It's unbelievable. And I think having watched the way this has gone here in the first 2 weeks, and I don't think this puts me in the minority, how could you possibly think this thing's going to make it? I at this stage, I can't imagine anyone feels that they're going to make it through.
Yeah, I don't think all 30 teams are going to make it through. They may just push the thing forward and go. You said before 15 teams. You know, like MLS had a couple teams that had to bag out, and they just completed that tournament without those teams. I can see baseball doing that. Just kicking a couple teams out of there and finishing it because they got to give the network something and they got to fulfill that contract and get some money out of it. I can see that. But not in the form that it was presented. The NBA and the NHL are completing their season in the form in which it was presented. And they're carrying through on their promises and their plans. Baseball, not even close. And they had more things going for them than those other leagues. Boy, that is, seriously, they exceeded our lowest expectation. Here's Murray's update. In case you missed it, there is breaking news in baseball today. Here's the very latest, and we come back with a final segment of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Giannis, who did not foul out of the game, has it here against Tatum. Tatum went for the steal. Giannis dribbles around him, goes past. Tice scoops it up and in.
Nope. That's a foul. He just fouled out of the game with a charge. Take the basket away. Marcus Smart just took the charge, and now he's out the game.
They have not made the announcement yet. Marcus Smart just got outside the circle. So it is an offensive foul on Giannis. Giannis got a second chance to survive here, but this one may foul him out.
What is it about a cat? How many lives can you have? I'm not sure if you're going to get nine this time.
A monster review going on right now.
This is the call of the game without Milton in there.
James Capers.
Overturn. It is a successful field goal because it is a block on Marcus Smart.
They're calling a block on Marcus Smart. It will not be a charge on Giannis. He does not foul out, and it will be a chance for a three-point play.
Wow.
For Giannis.
Wow.
The excuse was I was late on the charge. They said the replay center said I was late, and it was blocked. Quite frankly, I think we all know what that was about. Giannis is 6'5", didn't want to get him out. Just we'll call that a spade, and that's just what it is.
So I think that was the most notable Celtics item from the weekend, production courtesy of Big Jim Murray there. I found it was an interesting development as well. Maybe it's a tip-off that things won't really change in the NFL, in the NBA, I mean to say, in that the superstars are still going to get the calls. We wondered, without the home crowd and the travel and all of that, would they still call the game the same way? Would it be a different kind of game, more on the level? And I think that sequence, even though you think they got the call right ultimately, right, Maz?
I do. I thought Smart slid in there late.
Okay, I thought it was a bad reversal. I don't know why you're reversing that. I think it's ridiculous that was reversed. I mean, it was a bang-bang play. Could have gone either way. But that's what those plays are supposed to be. Bang-bang, go either way. And I don't think those should be reversed. But Giannis got the benefit of the doubt, right? And I think that, you know, maybe that's still going to apply whether there's fans in the stands or not.
Well, so that's the part that worries me now, is that, again, I used to think the referees adapted to the crowd or were influenced by the crowd. Now I just think that's how they call it. And so if there's a crowd or no crowd, regardless, you know, maybe that's the way the league wants it. Nope, we're gonna reward the team that played hard during the regular season. That's how we're going to do it, so that we make the regular season games, you know, more meaningful to the players, and they actually have to put in an effort because they know what the officiating is going to be. And, you know, so if you're the Celtics, that's a significant detail. Because, again, okay. Your chances were based on being able to go on the road and win.
Couple more calls before I hit the final word. Tom and Quincy, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, this weekend against the Yankees was pretty much what I thought it was going to be. I was hoping to squeak out a win. I knew they weren't going to win three. I knew they weren't going to win two. There wasn't a shot in hell they were going to win Weber's game because he blows beyond belief. And then the stiffs, I think we've solved the bullpen game. That ain't going to work on this friggin' team, okay? Because, listen, they suck so bad I can't even stand it, right? So you had something good going last night. You got Devers and Bogarts are hitting bombs left and right. and they cannot for the life of them get someone out. And I don't care. I had a guy comment on one of those, I don't know, it was NBC Sports or something. Will Barnes is the best setup guy in baseball. What? Do you watch it? And I said, I go, you got to be one of the stat nerds then. Because there's no effing way that you can watch that staff pitch and say that any of them are good at anything, okay?
So, Tom, I know. I'm sure they love Barnes' spin rate, Maz, right? Because it's what? One curveball after the next.
I mean, so that's the thing last night. And again, Barnes is a great example for this. He's up there against Aaron Judge. He throws him a curveball and misses, and Judge lays off. What do you think Judge is sitting on the next pitch? Curveball. Barnes hangs it. Judge hits it 500 feet. Game over. There you go. And so I look at Aaron Judge and I say, based on what I've seen in the postseason, teams have beaten Judge in key spots with elevated fastballs. He's a big guy, hard to get all the way up there. Like, I get it. Makes sense. And Barnes, unlike a lot of other guys on the staff, Barnes throws 97. Barnes doesn't throw 90. Or, you know, he's not even like Workman. You say, okay, Workman's got to throw the curve because his fastball's 92 or 93 at best case. No, Barnes gets up in the high 90s, still throwing curveballs, and Judge hit it a mile.
Ryan in Boston on MLB. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Overall, I just wanted to, like, say, like, the MLB and coronavirus, like, you know, these players get paid millions and stuff, and it's just like they're going to gentlemen's clubs. They're said to be going to casinos. It's just like they're asked to work for what? 60 days, 2 months, and they, like, can't even do that. It's just unbelievable. So I'm wondering two questions. Like, do you think that the owner is, like, has no responsibility in this? Like, it's just on the players? And then do you think they're going to, like, lose some fans to this? Because it really just shows, like, a lack of loyalty.
They're losing fans because the product's boring is why they're losing fans. They're not going to lose fans because of this. Jimmy sent me something with that, you know, they played the seven-inning doubleheaders over the weekend, right? And the two Reds-Tigers games came in at like 2:30.
Yeah.
It's like, this is why they're doing it. To which I said, well, it's only 2:30 because they lopped two innings off. If they were playing nine innings, that would have been a three-hour ball game, and the pace of play probably still absolutely sucked. It was just a tighter window. It's a tighter window. It's still probably the same lousy product. But I would say, Maz, since they came up with the 60-game plan, I'm putting it almost all on the players. I don't think it's the owners going to the strip clubs. I don't. I think it's the players violating the protocols that were put in place.
Well, look, the outbreaks, again, are happening within one team. Right? It's not as if all the Marlins got it, and they were playing the Phillies, and the Phillies got it, and it happened on the field. It didn't happen on the field.
It's a great point.
It happened somewhere else. So that means that it happened probably in a strip joint, or that's where it started, and then they all got on the plane together. But the point is that the players then might want to say, well, what are we all doing on the same plane together? Well, if you weren't in the strip joint, all the other teams are flying. They're not getting it, or most of them aren't getting it. So that, to me, that's a major issue. Like, you want to tell me that since the season started that the players have been acting like a bunch of ass clowns? Totally right. Okay, totally right. I'm just telling you, in the overall, going all the way back to the spring, neither side had its heart in it. Neither one.
Dan in Boston, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm just going to comment on the testing. I was wondering if you knew how accurate that these test kits are. Are they 80% accurate, 90%? Are they more 40 or 30%? It seems a lot of players are testing positive, yet they have absolutely no symptoms whatsoever, and they quarantine and they come right back. Because if these tests aren't accurate, then football and baseball, no one's going to be able to have a season. Thanks.
Maz, what do you think about that piece to it?
Well, look, I think there is some error into those tests. I don't think it's what the caller said, but I would also say to the caller, well, there is such a thing as an asymptomatic carrier, and it affects different people in different ways. And I don't, you know, I haven't seen the math on this, so maybe one of you guys has, or maybe it's not out there. But are young men more likely to be asymptomatic than older men? My guess would be yes. And if they had actual data to support it, then, you know, then maybe there's something there to be said for that. Look, the tests aren't 100%. They're not. And you're more likely to get, but you're more likely to get a false negative than a false positive. So if someone is testing positive, the great likelihood is that they have it and that they're asymptomatic.
All right, in the couple of minutes we have left, you want to see the cutest thing you've ever seen?
Yes. Is this the new dog?
Take a look at this guy. Oh, my God.
What's his name?
Oh, so if
Tuca?
If you're listening on the radio or on the podcast, I'm sorry, this is a visual. But what I have in my hands, what I have in my hands is a 8-week-old English Golden Retriever puppy named Captain.
Ah.
And this is why, frankly, I'm still at home, and I will be for the next week or two because, well, you wouldn't believe where I had to go get this thing. Because, you know, the family demanded another dog. We have a 10-year-old English Golden who's getting a little long in the tooth, Maz.
Yeah.
And you know what the wood said?
Yeah, you want to ease the transition on the family.
It's time to get the next one in the holster.
Time for an upgrade.
Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's very. They had the dog, Mike.
Oh, I like
they
it.
They had the dog.
They had the guy. They had the guy.
Yeah, I got news for you. That you better be hoping she's not doing that for you.
Okay, so she wanted the next one in the holster for when the old timer, you know, maybe this is going to get the 10-year-old to get on her game a little bit. So I had to schlep my ass to Phoenix, effing Arizona last week. That's why I missed a couple of days.
I still can't believe you did this.
Seriously.
Phoenix. I went 112 degrees. Flaming COVID outbreak. I flew out in the morning, flew back at night to get this little guy right here. And so I got quarantined for a couple of weeks here at home. And so this is the deal, but this is the trade-off. Is that not the cutest thing you've ever seen?
Captain,
in your life?
Huh? Named him after Jeter.
I'm not in charge of the naming. I'm certainly not in charge of where the breeder is located either. Like, there's not golden breeders in freaking New Bedford. Like, I went to effing Phoenix.
And what was the deal? This whack job had to meet you in person?
She's not a whack job. She's a beautiful lady who gave us a beautiful dog. Let's not call her whack job. But we did offer to send out, you know, someone else, and they said, well, I don't know.
The nanny.
I didn't want to say that. We were going to send out the au pair, and she said, oh, well, then I don't know if I can give you the dog. Because I've never had anyone come get the dog that wasn't the owner. Why would I give away a dog and sell a dog to someone who doesn't want to come get the dog? I don't know if I can give it to you anymore. So I'm like,
look,
oh, Jesus. So fine. I went and got the dog. And there we go.
He is there it adorable.
Is. He is.
Thank
he's
you
a
very
cute
much.
Dog. Yeah.
Okay. There it is. Final word comes your way next.
Dugger Mass.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town
Nobody.
Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. Red Sox, of course, swept by the New York Yankees over the weekend. Last night it was Matt Barnes that served up a curve meet the ball to Aaron Judge. And that was something that Maz enjoyed quite a lot earlier today on Phil Grant.
Barnes to Judge. Curveball. Fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. Aaron Judge. Adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night, Aaron Judge is guilty of putting the Yankees into the lead with his second home run of the night, a bomb into the night. It is 9-7 New York.
I feel like that one was it. I feel like... Go ahead, Maz, your thoughts.
Throw him another curveball, why don't you? Another curveball. Did you notice that? Curveball, curveball, curveball. Threw him one, missed, then hung one out there like it was on a freaking coat hanger, and he hit it 500 feet.
And did you see Barnes' reaction, too? That was the best. Oh, wow. Good.
Oh, seriously. Like, tell me that wasn't perfect. I keep throwing them curves. They know it's coming, you jackass. They know it's coming. That's all you guys throw is curveballs. They know it's coming. Oh, my God. I laughed my ass off when I saw that. I went, ah! They're going to blow this. I know they're going to blow this. Pow! There it is, right there. Ah, you donkey.
And so that's not John Sterling on that call. And that guy, who is that? Is that Michael Kay?
Oh, I didn't even notice the call.
And so it's not Sterling.
No, definitely not Sterling.
And he's ripping off Sterling's bit.
Seriously.
He did the whole, like, what was
it? Might be, it could be. No.
No, the judge thing. It was the whole, like, judge bit there.
Oh, yeah. Tell it to the judge.
Yeah.
All right, Maz, we got coming up on the baseball reporters.
Well, we have a dilemma. The Red Sox suck.
Aaron Judge is guilty.
There it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the Red Sox suck. So what we're going to do... what we're going to do is I am going to address the Red Sox fans at the beginning of the show. Because we are only 2 weeks into the baseball reporters and the team's already dead and buried, if you ask me. But believe it or not, I still think there are plenty of angles on this team because we had a number of people ask questions during the baseball reporters today that I think touched on what are the critical issues with this team going forward. So, look, there's a lot of baseball to be played. I'm saying that half in jest, but not really. They're in deep doo-doo. And so we'll start there with last night's loss, what it means and what the ramifications are.
Okay. Big picture stuff, Mass. I think there's still a lot of big picture stuff.
Oh, there's a ton of big picture stuff.
And I think the state of the game is also, I mean, I don't think you can rip Major League Baseball enough for how they have just totally butchered this restart. Here comes Maz.
We'll get to that, too.
Okay. Maz and the baseball reporters next. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll see you then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.